Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It was in Cochranton, Pennsylvania that it took place. My first exposure to it in a dank little movie theater, I got to see Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. It was an interesting movie. It wasn't quite my cup of tea. I can't remember how old I was, but I was not a musical sort of boy. So I enjoyed the movie, but it wasn't one of my favorites. But I loved the concept, the golden ticket. The golden ticket for those children was that opportunity to gain the kingdom that Willy Wonka had put together, that mysterious kingdom with all that went on inside of it, just to produce those famous Wonka bars and all the other little treats and delights that Willy Wonka produced for the people of that town. And there was such a clamoring about getting the golden ticket because they knew whoever got it, their lives would be changed forever. We have golden tickets. We can get them. You go to the grocery store, you go to the gas station, go to Circle K, you go someplace, and you buy one of these Mega Million tickets or one of these Powerball tickets, and there is your golden ticket because your life can be changed forever. It's kind of funny how this works because if you think about it, this goes on, what, twice a week, I guess, and it's for millions of dollars each time. And yet, we don't hear anything about it until we're somewhere around $300,000 or $400,000 or even $500,000. Now, I don't know about you, but I think if I had the opportunity to be given $2 million, I'd be kind of happy. But there is something more enticing, I guess, within our society that if you can get $500 million, you're going to be more than willing to give it a shot along with the rest of the world trying to get that big amount of money because you know that will give you the opportunity to do anything you would ever possibly want to do. Think of the opportunities you would have, the things you could do with the money. How you could change your life, how you could change the lives of people around you, how you could make choices and decisions that never seemed possible. How you could buy the things that you always wanted to buy. Now, we're very altruistic people, so we are going to say, well, of course I would first use that money to help the world around me, to help those in need. But I can guarantee you that if you won, you'd buy something for yourself, wouldn't you? Something that you couldn't buy in your current situation. Something that you've always wanted. To be able to use that money to be able to change your world in a bit, to be able to do things that you never imagined you'd be able to do before. It would be a life-changing experience. Because you'd be able to choose all kinds of things you'd never had the opportunity to choose before. Kind of going Old Testament today. King Solomon. King Solomon is given the golden ticket. He's won the Mega Millions. He has that opportunity that God says, choose the one thing. Choose that one thing you want. Choose the one thing that you need. Choose that one thing that you think will help you out. And I think Solomon even impresses God. I want to be wise. I want to be able to make choices and decisions for my people and for my kingdom and for you, Lord, that would be wise and honorable. I want to be a smart cookie. And so, he's given that gift. And as the story goes on, we find out that Solomon is a pretty smart guy. We remember the story about the two women who come, both claiming to be the mother of the one child, and Solomon is in this conundrum trying to figure out, before DNA testing, how are we going to figure out whose mother, whose child is this? Whose mother, whatever, you know what I mean. So, he says, well, let's just slice it in half. You can get one half, you can get the other half. While it sounds kind of gruesome, the reality is the true mother, the one who loved the child, would be willing to forego her parental rights for the life of the child. Pretty wise. And so it's this wisdom that guided Solomon throughout his years. It's this wisdom that helped Solomon create a kingdom like no other kingdom, to build the kingdom of Israel up to a place that it had never been before, with all kinds of glory and with all kinds of kingdom territory within the kingdom. And yet, he wasn't always all that smart. Because there was a provision that God gave Solomon. He said, well, you can do just about anything you want to do, but the one thing I don't want you to do is I don't want you marrying any of them foreigners. Now, it seemed pretty close-minded if you think about it. What's God have against foreigners? This is the God of the world, so why would God tell Solomon you can't marry the foreign people? Well, as it turns out, it wasn't because of them being foreigners, but rather because of what God perceived Solomon would do to try to keep these women happy. And this is where his wisdom ended. Now, one could say that his wisdom ended when he decided he was going to be married to more than one woman. How come none of the women are laughing? I had trouble with one. He took on 500. That's a lot of people to keep happy in any family. And part of the problem in terms of what existed then with Solomon was the fact that in an effort to keep these 500 women individually happy, especially the ones who were the foreigners, was that he began to make places of worship to their foreign gods to be able to make them feel like he cared about them as much as he cared about his Israelite wives. And so his kingdom began to crumble. Because you see, within the wisdom that God gave him, within that gift that he had acquired, he stopped using it for the glory of God. And he started using it for the glory of Solomon. And that's when his trouble began. We don't have the wisdom of Solomon. We might like to think we do, but we don't. But we do have individual gifts that make us the people we are. We have the things that fill us and guide us and motivate us and inspire us that God has placed within our lives that make us uniquely the individuals who we are, uniquely chosen and woven to be able to serve God in a variety of different ways. And those gifts, when they're used, can bring to light so much wonderful things within the world to allow people to see and understand what our faith is about. Because when we can take those gifts and when we can use them to motivate people around us, we can use those gifts to allow the world to understand what our faith is about. When people can see through us and through those gifts that God has given us, what we're willing to do, what we're willing to sacrifice, and how we're willing to give all for the glory of God, then people begin to understand a little bit more about our faith. Because we can talk all we want, but it's in the action of our lives that people understand what a person of God is all about. But that only works if we use those gifts to the glory of God. When we choose to work with what we have, motivated by what God has blessed us with. When we take those gifts that God has filled our lives with and we solely use them for the purpose of being able to enhance the kingdom that God has placed within our care. Like Solomon, sometimes we choose wisely, sometimes not so much. Because we are human beings. And we run into that trap sometimes of being motivated by things that are less than godly. Sometimes we find ourselves motivated by that list of sinfulness we find in the Bible in so many different places that talks about our own self-serving motives and guides. When it talks about the fact that we might be doing something just simply for the sake of ourselves and not for the sake of God. When we do that, we misuse the gifts that God has blessed us with. When our motivation is to serve ourselves and not to serve God, then we've misused what God has blessed us with. We are who we are as people of faith to be able to care for this world that God has given us. To be able to use those skills and abilities we have to reach out to a world in need. To be able to use what we have to be able to enhance the kingdom of God to the world around us so people can understand truly what God intends for us and what God intends for the world. That people can look at us and see what we do and understand that the service that we offer to God is truly what God has intended for us. When we start using what we have simply for our own means, when we take that golden ticket and we keep it for ourselves, then we are misusing what God has blessed us with. Each of us have been shaped in a way to be able to serve this world, to be able to give of ourselves in a way that can help enhance the world around us, to be able to serve God's kingdom individually or in a larger measure. But that only works if we understand our gifts that have come from God are to be used for God. And that's where our work begins. To be able to take those things each and every day and look at our decisions and understand what our motivation might be. That as we step forward in this world, we work to the glory of God. We work using those gifts that God has blessed us with to be able to see that the world becomes the place that God originally intended. Despite what our wants and our desires might be, that we work to set those aside to understand that what we do, we are called to do for God alone. And when we do that, then we live our lives with the wisdom of Solomon. Lives that have been blessed by God, but lives that understand exactly what those blessings are. And how they might be used. See, when we do so, all we're really doing is giving thanks. Thanking God through the action of our lives. Thanking God for the gifts that we've been blessed with. And using those gifts simply as an offering of thanks in return.